Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you, hope you're doing okay. You're the gorgeous Chamber of Commerce, 70s-ish weather day in eastern Nebraska. So if you're heading to golf, take the ESPN Lincoln app, or catch us across the Hail Varsity Network before you tee off, and it's not our fault. We do not distract. Coming up, Mitch Sherman, College World Series thoughts, some recruiting thoughts, college football news. Mitch Sherman of ESPN. In 15 minutes, in hour two, Jacob Padilla of HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll get caught up with Jacob. We'll talk to him about Tanner Lee. Some news and notes on Nebraska football, some recruiting thoughts, and I will assist Jacob and TJ's NBA moments in that segment.
Oh, thank you.
No, I mean, Jacob's like, hey, what are we talking about today? I'm like, well, we can hit on X, Y, and Z, and you and TJ can do some NBA stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to participate.
Okay.
But I'm not. But I'm not the NBA
guru.
Guru.
There you go.
I was going to say honk, but guru.
Okay.
Wah, wah. I mean, just the guy that Jacob's all over the NBA.
Yeah.
Too, so.
And I want to ask him about how, like, there was a potential lottery pick in Omaha, Nebraska, and I knew nothing about him until his first game.
I wanted to get into Patton with him, and yeah. Jacob's probably known Patton since Patton was four.
Yeah.
So, Justin Hole going to join us, wide receiver, defensive standout, Lincoln Southwest. He is verbally committed as a walk-on, and we like to talk walk-ons a lot on Hail Varsity Radio. So we'll get caught up with Justin in hour number two. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. And always welcome to Tap the Line with your friends from Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. I've got to figure out dinner tonight because Mama Bear's working. I may kidnap Junior. Kidding. And I might get Junior and head up to Schilling Bridge.
Just there you go.
Thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. Easier than cooking yourself.
Well, here's the thing, man. In the apartment, there's no grill. There's no smoker. Drink at home or fill out the Schmidt bingo card because I've set it at 4:09 Central Standard Time on Tuesday, whining about having no smoker or grill.
Yeah.
As far as the oven goes, I mean, we have frozen stuff.
That's like my best friend's, the oven. Or the microwave.
No, I know, but all of the frozen / oven stuff or microwavable stuff is marked.
Like, don't eat. That's, or what?
Yeah, it's Junior's or Mama's. Like pizza rolls or...
It's like you need to go to the grocery store then.
Well, we do, but we just... Our schedules
I hate the grocery
suck.
Store, by the way.
So do I.
Ugh.
I mean, I love...
Folks. What am I going to want to eat in 3 days? Like, I know
no,
at the here, time.
Here's what
That's
I
what
do.
I hate.
Here's
like,
what, no, exactly. I mean, you're supposed to plan out the week. And,
yeah, I hate it.
Oh, look, I just blew $75 on milk and yogurt and stuff that's yeah. spoiled. Our fridge is a joke. It was better stocked in college than it is now. That's kind of my fault.
You.
That's absolutely her fault. And we just, you know, Junior's not malnourished, so there we go. So... Let's go to the bar.
That's easy.
That's what we say.
Take it.
No, I had like, it was a quasi intervention last night, okay? So I'm eating some grub. We're out of the place, and we'll get into football, I promise. But, you know, Carson's been calling me fatty.
Ooh.
Junior has, because we've been swimming a lot, and the dad bod has grown a bit, okay?
You and just I, let him do this? Like, first no, time you didn't stop it? And just
I just kind of, the way he says it's kind of funny.
Okay.
The second time, there's a death look. The third time, there's a stern warning. There's yeah. not been a fourth time.
Okay.
And it's spread out over a few days.
All right.
But the wife's sitting across the table from me, and I'm having a Coors Light, and She's like, you know, you should really kind of restrict your drinking. Like, what? I'm not going Ted Kennedy over here. Not kissing the pool table. Ted Kennedy's a former senator that died.
Okay. I was like, I didn't get the reference.
Google Chappaquiddick and Ted Kennedy.
Chappaquiddick? Yeah. How do you spell that? What is that?
Just do it.
That's a word?
You'll thank me later.
Okay.
Chappaquiddick. It's a part of the ocean, okay?
Okay.
Anywho.
All right.
She's like, you need to do something about your belly. This BS swimming you do is not working. You need to go more often. So I got called out for my gut. Yeah. I'm like, well, I know it's not awesome, but is it a problem? She's like, well, I mean, you're not like morbidly, but she's like, it's growing.
It's growing.
Like, well, I weigh the same. She's like, yeah, but it's sure finding a home, a landing spot.
Yeah, it's staying around, huh?
It's sticking around.
Yeah.
So whatever.
I don't know. You're talking to the king of fast food, so like I eat.
Yeah,
terrible,
you're 26
so.
And you sweat in your sleep. You're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. For a while. Let's talk a little bit about experience. There's my family experience. Take it or leave it. Let's talk college football experience. College football scoop. Phil Steele was on with us last week, and how important is experience to you as a Nebraska fan? Now, conventional wisdom says, the more time a guy has repped, the more times a guy has seen the live bullets, it'll work out better. It'll develop him. He'll be better. He's already a good player because he's at Nebraska. It'll all kind of gel together, and you'll have a really good football team. What blew that out of the water for me, I was thinking about this last night, was that one time Nebraska football had to replace 4/5 of their offensive line in 1995 happened. Okay? You had an incredible pipeline in 94. You had a whole new unit in 95. Really good talent in the 95 team, too, obviously. And you went from great to great. But that's kind of your outlier. And Phil Steele always is about combined starts. I'm working and waiting on the 2017 edition. I have 2016 in my hand. And the combined starts you have traditionally project great things. And let's talk probability. Who's going to rise? Who's going to fall this year in college football based on experience? And Nebraska is ranked and listed as either in the top 10 of the least experienced teams in college football when it comes to too deep and it comes to starters that are seniors that are too deep. And I'm not really worried. There's a lot of things you can worry about with Nebraska football in 2017. I am not worried about experience with this group, with this unit, because it is new. And what you have back, just because they're not seniors, that method of measurement doesn't mean they've not seen it and been productive, okay? So I think Nebraska is kind of a different animal altogether when you look at how teams are rated, what trends say. If you lose a high number of starters, if you don't have a high number of senior starters back, the last 3 to 5 years of college football, you've taken a step back in your win total from the previous year on average of about 2.5. So say last year's team went 9-4, just because you don't have a ton of seniors, subtract 2 from the 9, there's your 7-5, there's your Vegas number, okay? Mm-hmm. And I get that. I just think in today's day and age of college football, if you can get that perfect fit and that game changer or two, doesn't matter how old they are, they go play. Barry Switzer and Oklahoma's teams always won, and he'll tell you this till he's blue in the face. He won, and the average starter on his football team was 19 years old, almost 20. So he was either not redshirting guys or he's getting a better talent level that by their true sophomore year, they're starting or contributing or they're all Big Eight. Nebraska's age average that year was 21 or 22. It was a redshirt junior, senior. You had to work your way up, but that was extra years of development. Mm-hmm. What you need right now for Nebraska is the accelerated development of those diamonds in the rough, or get better players in here that are more college ready. See your IMG kids. And Nebraska, to me, has been able to go get, I don't want to say a higher level of athlete, but maybe kids from a skill standpoint, or some of those hybrid guys that they're after or do have on the roster. They've been able to get kids that are just really freaks athletically. Mm-hmm. Go play football, go make plays, and just kind of play fast. The other thing here, too, is I look at Louisville and Lamar Jackson and Clemson. As a true sophomore, they're 9-3, and he's a Heisman winner. You have Deshaun Watson, a redshirt freshman, almost wins a national champion. A true redshirt sophomore wins the title at quarterback. And that's a couple of – and then Jalen Hurts. Look at Alabama. As good as Alabama is and as many kids as they have, they're pretty talented on the offensive line. They're having kids leave as either true redshirt sophomores or true juniors. They're going to the NFL early. They're having a bunch of guys leave early because they're very good coming in, and they're developed at a high, high level. But he turned to the most important spot on the field for him to a true freshman quarterback. So I don't buy that you have to have a boatload of seniors to have a good football season. It makes sense that you can kind of crescendo and hit that peak with a group of 17 returning starters, okay? And I know Alabama and Ohio State are two teams that typically tend to reload versus rebuild. But I look at Oregon. Oregon's got 17 starters back. What are you expecting from them? Probably 9 or 10 wins, maybe 11.
That's a huge jump.
Right, but they're good, right? It was more coaching than talent. Would you agree with that a year ago?
Yeah.
And by the way, they're transitioning. A year ago, they were schematically from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
Yeah.
If you're doing it backwards, where you're going from 3-4 to 4-3, you're really hosed because you need two interior guys. So, I'm more optimistic about Nebraska and what their win total can be. I think it could be 9 or 10. And I think the reason for that is because of who the returning kind of PowerPoint guys are. That aren't seniors.
Yeah.
Stanley Morgan, not a senior.
Nick Gates,
Gerald Foster, Jr.
Freedom,
thank you. Now, I will say this about a couple of your seniors. They got to ball out and have great years. Weber's got to have a monster year. I think he's ready for it. He's been one of those guys that's been developing, found his role, and now he's a starter. It's kind of his second level. It's his linebacker room.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Kalu and Jones. They've been through a lot together. They're both extremely talented. So that makes me feel all right in the secondary because of their experience. And at quarterback, you've got a ton of experience, 19 career starts, just not in the Power 5. And you just don't know how to grade Tanner Lee. Some folks are going, man, this guy's looking good. Others are going, man, look how bad he was at Tulane. There's a happy medium there that you can't project accurately. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to see how it is. But don't tell me Nebraska's going to be back because they don't have 500 seniors coming back. This is new. This is a fit and a new look offensively. And a new fit and new look defensively, it's completely off the board to project doom and gloom or sunshine and rainbows. I'm kind of happy medium right now with the 9 or 10 look.
But from the most experienced teams, obviously most of those teams improve, a couple who didn't. But from the least experienced teams, a lot of those teams didn't improve. So where do you fall on this list? For 8 teams from that below list will either see their records fall by 1 or 2 games. One will recruit its way out of it, and they're hinting that that will be Michigan. Mm-hmm. Or 4 teams will fall by at least 3 wins.
Do you feel that way about Nebraska? Maybe they've kind of recruited their way out of it?
I would put them second behind Michigan,
okay,
just because I think Michigan has done a bit more right
and
now.
And here's the thing, too.
I would have Nebraska at their record falls by just 1 or 2 games. I wouldn't have it by
3. If I'm ranking these 10 least experienced teams, who's going to be bad? Who's going to have a bad year? I think West Virginia is in for... And I know they got the quarterback coming in from Florida.
Yeah.
Greer.
But he wasn't great at Florida either.
Well, he was young, okay? I think West Virginia's schedule is more of an issue. I think they're good, but I think it's an issue. I think A&M, I don't think someone's going to handle the pressure well if they don't win UCLA.
That's a tough schedule.
Right? I don't think they're going to win at UCLA against UCLA, and that'll start this fire Sumlin chant. Mm-hmm. And they've been through 100 quarterbacks that they would have just settled on. A couple of these true freshmen or redshirt freshmen.
Illinois will struggle.
Illinois is going to suck. It doesn't matter. Georgia Southern, sorry. Don't care. Don't want to know. But Michigan State, are you really telling me last year's train wreck of a locker room is going to be...
Well, the offseason hasn't been any better.
Is going to be better than this year? You're going to be worse than last year? Is that possible?
They could definitely be the same in my mind.
You think they go 3-9 again?
They could go 3-9, 4-8.
I think 6 or 7 wins.
Who's their quarterback?
Doesn't matter.
We can't name him.
It has not mattered because...
I think it's the guy who can't throw.
But guess what? If Michigan State gets back to being Michigan State, they're running the football on you. Okay? Mm-hmm. They are running the football on you, and their line's good. Listen, I think Nebraska's okay. I think Michigan's the team that inexperience doesn't matter. They lost a lot. This is kind of his first or second recruiting class that's now had a year at Camp Harbaugh or 2 years at Camp Harbaugh to develop. They could be a tougher football team. Michigan could be. And Nebraska, it's talk talent. That's how you kind of hurdle that lack of senior starting.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. He is in Omaha. He's providing updates of how daunting the line is at the CWS. We welcome in with ESPN.com and Magazine, Mitch Sherman. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing well. Ready for the CWS to be over. Took my... took my daughter down. I'm now officially like just taking my kids everywhere. You know, they may be in the press box with me tonight. I'm not sure, but I took my daughter down to the Embassy Suites to the LSU hotel this afternoon to visit with the father of in what has now become the most unusual, happy, bizarre story of the College World Series. The father of Jared Poche, tonight's starting pitcher for LSU. Dr. Jerry Poche performed chest compressions on a Florida fan in the stands last night, along with the father of the LSU strength coach who was on CPR duty, and they revived him and apparently saved his life. So, unbelievable story. And Dr. Jerry Poche was speaking with about 100 members of the media today at the LSU team hotel. So that included me and my daughter in the room. And she got to meet Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, and Laura Rutledge from ESPN. So that was a fun trip and worthwhile for work, too.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. With all your time you spent at the World Series, is there a favorite concession item you ran across that you keep getting, or are you eating the media food?
I'm glad that you asked. Yeah, I am mainly eating the media food. You could break yourself. You know, since I live here, I'm not on the same kind of expense account situation as those who come in from all parts of the country to work, which is nice for me and nice for ESPN. So, you know, I'll sneak a few meals out and get reimbursed. But for the most part, I'm on the media diet of hamburgers. And, I mean, some of it's been pretty bad, but... you know, credit to Mecca, the Omaha people, for providing us with food, so I shouldn't be complaining. My favorite in the TD Ameritrade concourse, and this is a couple years running now. If you still have a chance to go, you know, if you're listening tonight or maybe tomorrow, the walking nachos from 10th Street Tacos. They're down the right field line. They've got a stand set up, not a normal concession stand, but it's just kind of a makeshift one that they bring in for the CWS. And you get a bag of Doritos or Fritos. I go with Doritos. And then they load it up with, like, meat and cheese and whatever you want. And it's in the Dorito bag. Mm. So I have indulged in that once during the CWS. And you know, if it goes to Wednesday, I'm going back. Tonight, I think I'll stay in the press box.
I got shook down for a walking taco in Des Moines by Junior for his baseball tournament. So the walking taco is alive and well, and I'm glad that there's one within walking distance for you.
Yeah, and these are, I mean, they have walking tacos, but the walking nachos is what I'm recommending.
Right.
Straight out of the bag. So, I mean, it's all good options. It seems like a great place. So, I would recommend it.
Mitch Sherman's with us all over the College World Series. What happens tonight, Mitch, Florida or LSU?
I'm going LSU. We got Poche, as I mentioned, on the mound. There seems to be something magical going on with his family here in Omaha. He's pitched twice for the Tigers and won both of those games, first in relief against Texas A&M in the opener way back like 3 months ago, and then on Wednesday night last week in an elimination game against Florida State, he went into the ninth inning. So this is a guy with 39 career wins, most in LSU history. He's a senior, obviously, with that win total. And I have a hard time envisioning or seeing this a scenario where they go out with him on the mound. And, you know, if that happens, it's another day of work, and that's fine. Another day for Omaha to enjoy these fans. These LSU fans are great for the College World Series. I mean, they're outnumber Florida like, you know, 25 to 1 isn't even doing it justice. It's like 125 to 1. So another day would be okay, and the third day would give us Alex Lang, LSU's recent first round draft pick of the Cubs, against Jackson Kowar from Florida, who was 12-0 coming into Omaha and then took his first loss against TCU on Friday night. So that would be the pitching. We haven't really had the pitching matchup like that in the finals yet, because LSU was Johnny Holstaff last night, and that's what Florida is going to be today. So tomorrow would finally be star pitcher against star pitcher if it gets that far.
Mitch, I want to go back to this past weekend, though, with LSU beating Oregon State twice and knocked them out of the tournament. I mean, Oregon State only had 4 losses all year. I'm assuming they didn't lose twice in a row with just 4 losses in a baseball schedule all year long. Did you talk to the Oregon State players after the game, and what were their thoughts and what went wrong?
You would be correct that Oregon State had not lost twice in a row before Friday and Saturday in Omaha. And, you know, they hadn't played a team like LSU either. You know, they played a good schedule in the Pac-12, played Stanford, played Arizona, Arizona State, USC, schools that not all of them this year, but traditionally good, very good programs. Played some decent out-of-conference competition. The Oregon State players after the game, both games on Friday and Saturday, there wasn't a lot to say. There's definitely was some conversation about the umpiring, especially in the Saturday game. The home plate ump was inconsistent, to put it nicely, and I heard some of that. I was down on the field at the end of that game in the ninth inning, and Beavers were down 5 runs, but got a couple on base, and it seemed that the strike zone had narrowed up a bit, and then lo and behold, it got big again. It was hard to watch on college baseball's biggest stage, that inconsistency there. So I heard some of that from the Oregon State players, but they handled it in a classy way, and they basically got beat by a team that played better on those 2 days. And if Oregon State and LSU had played all year, especially the way that LSU was playing in the last month, you know, that wouldn't have been an unexpected result for LSU to take 2 out of 3. This was a very good Oregon State team, but I think the talk about the Beavers being one of the best or the best in college baseball history was premature. Certainly it was premature because they had not yet won a national championship, and here we are this week, and they're not even playing for it.
Mitch, want to talk some college football for a second, and Phil Steele's, we talked with Phil last week, and his publication's out today, and I wanted to get your thoughts on just kind of the win totals / experience factor mainly. And typically, if you don't have a lot of senior starters on your 2-deep or senior starters and then you're 2-deep with that senior experience, most of the time the average is you drop 2 games or 2.5 games from your previous win total. There are some outliers on that: Bama, Florida State, Ohio State, Stanford. I mean, they've been pretty consistent. They've also been pretty consistently top 10 good and or top 15 recruiting class good. And 10 least experienced teams, Nebraska comes in at 4, Michigan 3, Sparty 1, West Virginia 5, A&M 9, just to kind of give you the landscape. Do you think it's as important to have senior starters in today's day and age of college football?
I don't think it's as important as it was in, say, 1993 or 1971, but it's still important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as important, obviously, if you're Alabama or Ohio State, because their players, you know, speaking in generality here, are good enough that they don't get to become senior starters. And Nebraska can have guys like that and has had guys like that. But it's not an across-the-board thing that impacts your experience level. You know, there have been several years recently where Ohio State has been the youngest team in the country or one of the youngest teams in the country, and they've been national championship caliber or Big Ten conference championship caliber for sure. And that, it's misleading. And I think it's important to not look at it the same way as, say, you know, a school like Iowa, if it were the youngest in the country. And not to single them out, Nebraska, you know, mm-hmm. Texas Tech, whatever it might be, unless you're in that very, very, very small class of elite programs that recruit guys basically with the realistic expectation that they're almost all going to go to the NFL. I mean, it doesn't work out for everybody, but I think there's a realistic expectation with just about everybody that Ohio State recruits that if it works out well, they've got a future in pro football ahead. So those teams are going to be younger because they lose a lot of third-year players to the draft. In the case of most programs, experience matters more. Yeah. And, you know, talent doesn't necessarily win out over experience like it does. So it's hard, I think, to look at every program across the board and try to make some reasonable predictions based entirely on experience, because experience and lack of it impacts different programs in different ways.
You're right. It depends on what horse you're on. Basically, it's different for an Alabama. It's different for a Nebraska. It's different for USC in mm-hmm. some years. I mean, you're getting talent. How good's the talent you get? How quickly do you develop them? And how much development do they need? Are you pulling kids from IMG where they come in supposedly right. and likely more college ready? It just varies.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Mountain West program or a MAC program and you have 15 or 16 senior starters coming back, that's outstanding.
Yes.
And, you know, it means that you're likely going to be playing in a nice bowl game. If you're Ohio State or Alabama and that's the case, I think your coach probably made some mistakes in recruiting back 3-4 years ago.
You put it perfectly. At Mitch Sherman on Twitter, ESPN.com, and Magazine. Read up on Mitch, his coverage of the College World Series, and, of course, lots of college football around the corner with Mitch. Mitch, we will run you down next week. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, bud.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Take care,
guys.
There he is, Mitch Sherman with his son, Hail Varsity Radio. Next Tuesday is the 4th of July. I lied to Mitch. I'm not working the 4th. Are you working the 4th?
Yeah, I don't even plan things about tomorrow, so I had no idea it was the 4th next week. So,
someone's looking to hit golf.
Wow, it's the 4th already. Okay.
Yeah, the second checkpoint in the fact that summer's almost gone.
Do we have the 5th off?
I don't know. You got to go talk.
Seems
to,
like that's the day you need off.
You
got to
go talk to
recover,
the bosses.
Right?
Well, TJ, what do you take me for?
Well, I'm talking about firework incidents.
Oh. Thought it was an alcohol insinuation from you.
No.
No? What?
Alcohol, no, maybe.
You telling me alcohol and fireworks don't go together?
Well, unless you want a fire to start.
No, thank you. Okay. So, good to catch up with Mitch Sherman. We will dive into, well, realignment. Why? Because it's time to take a look back at who's won and who's lost and who lied their pants off and got accepted somewhere. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
That's how you make it happen. Chris at HailVarsity.com, at Schmidt_radio, at TJ_Henninger, at HailVarsity. Had a fun mailbag last night and into this morning with HailVarsity.com. Jacob Padilla coming up of Hail Varsity in 20 minutes. And then Justin Holm, Lincoln Southwest. He will walk on to Nebraska in 2018. 6'6". Guy is a beast. And excited for him. I want to tell you about Wilderness Ridge. We'll talk with Shuey tomorrow. But WildernessRidgeGolf.com is where you can log on and make your tee time. Also, 402-434-5106. If you haven't investigated the membership benefits or pricing, do so. If you need to try out Wilderness this summer, no time like this weekend in the 4th of July. Here's what's going on with Wilderness Ridge. Independence Day specials, the 30th of June through July 2nd. So, after 2 o'clock, $29 plus tax and a cart and a dollar off a small bucket of warm-up balls. Huh? How's that? From June 30th through July 2nd. 4th of July, you want to go golf on the 4th, 18-hole shotgun start. That's on the championship course, 8:30. Members, guests also open to the public, so get your foursome reserved on the 4th. And then July 4th from 7 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon, $17.76, appropriately priced for the Talon course, the 9-hole course. And, of course, the restaurant open from 11 to 2. And golf is pretty nice there, 7 to 3. So get that reservation and that tee time made for you and your buddies on the 4th of July at Wilderness Ridge. Great pricing, great specials, and a ton of fun to be had by all. It's challenging. But it's a good challenge. It's kind of like you feel good after a workout, maybe. Better than that feel. Okay, let's talk realignment and college football. Seismic shift, right? Remember 6 years ago?
Yeah.
You have the college football world turned on its head, and it was a brand new world, quite honestly. People were looking for stability. People were looking to make a jump from the kids' table to the adult table in some instances. And it's worked out okay for most places. I think most programs that made the move, they're doing way better from an athletic budget standpoint, and they're doing better from a branding and prestige standpoint. They're better off now than they were 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, from a conference standpoint, if you were to redraft and just take the ACC, take the Pac-12, take the Big Ten, take the Big 12, take them off the table and just say, okay, you're redrafting. Who do you want to redraft? Who would you pick? You got Colorado, A&M, Utah, Nebraska, Missouri, TCU, Pitt, Syracuse, West Virginia. And who am I missing? Louisville. If I'm being honest about how things have gone football and basketball-wise, aside from the, then you got to take the banner down, Slick Rick. Prior to that, prior to last week, don't you take Louisville?
That's who I was leaning towards.
Don't you take Louisville?
Yeah.
Because they've been good in basketball. We know why.
Yeah.
As long as Spotify doesn't die on you, it's going to be a great old weekend.
Yeah.
Basketball's been good. Football's been incredible.
Yep.
Okay? You lose Charlie Strong after you win in the Sugar Bowl. Teddy's an NFL quarterback. You have a pipeline of studs from Miami coming to Louisville. And what do? You lose Charlie and Watson and that group to Texas. They don't last long in Texas. What do? You get Petrino. They don't allow Harleys in the city limits of Louisville. Noise pollution. Kidding. But you upgrade. you get one of the best college football minds.
Yep.
10-cent knucklehead off the field, historically speaking. But you get a great recruiter and a phenomenal coach if you can stand him. He finds talent. He's just not real trustworthy, historically speaking, again. But, man, Louisville's got it going.
Yeah.
And then from a Nebraska standpoint, I think you've gone to an NCAA tournament. You've gone and won the league in baseball this mm-hmm. year. And you're, I think, 31-18 since joining the Big Ten. Now, listen, you've wanted
more yep.
in football. You've wanted more than one Big Ten championship game appearance. You've wanted to do better than 5-3 in the league most years. But overall, it's not been awful, and you're rich.
Yeah, you're definitely more rich.
You have so much frickin' money to spend between research dollars and the athletic budget and what you got coming in from a TV rights, and you got equal partnership. You have the same mind and like-mindedness when it comes to revenue. I mean, you're set. You're so happy. And if you're the Big Ten, listen, I don't know where Louisville's at academically, what plane they're on, whether or not they're sexy enough for the Big Ten to ask Louisville to come dance. It wouldn't have worked that well, to be honest with you, for them to be in an East when it's already a loaded East. But, hey, I think Louisville and Nebraska have been the best of this realignment. A&M's been good, too. I'd put them at third. I know their basketball program's been...
Well, remember Missouri switching to the SEC, two conference championships straight in a row? That was crazy.
Eastern Division, yeah.
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 I mean, for a while, they were like, whoa. Now but then their basketball team just went, phew.
They're in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
Missouri's post-Pinkel era. No more. The rest of the SEC is now paying attention to the show-me state and rating them and recruiting. Before, it was keeping Nebraska and Arkansas and Southern Illinois out of our backyard.
Are you proud? Or maybe proud's not right the word, but...
Am I proud?
Are you proud of having Maryland and Rutgers join the Big Ten?
I like Maryland.
I like their basketball.
No, I like their basketball, but they're not far removed from eight. I mean, Maryland won 7-8 games under the former UConn coach, which is now the current UConn coach. His name's escaping me.
Mine too.
Look, Louisville's kind of been it. Nebraska's been good. A&M's been okay.
But they're like, oh, they added over 800,000 new alumni. Yeah, I don't think the average person cares about that. I think they care about if you have good football, basketball teams.
But it's 800,000, a lot of which is outside your footprint, which is subscriptions. It's eyeballs.
Somewhat, although if you're cord cutting.
You'll still watch the Big Ten Network. You'll figure out a way, and the Big Ten will make a deal or already has made a deal to be offered with the a la carte folks. They'll be fine. They're 15 steps ahead of everybody, I think.
Okay.
Just because they're getting the rights.
They are, but, you know, just after this latest ESPN thing. Like,
no, I get it, but I think
it's scary.
If you're interested in Big Ten football, you'll get it. And the other part of this is, too.
But Maryland Rutgers football just wouldn't do it for you.
No, it wouldn't, but you just kind of take a bullet once in a while.
Yeah, but so then, like, quality over quantity, man. Like, listen, don't add these teams if we don't have to.
No, I like Maryland because not only are you getting D.C. and the Chesapeake region from a recruiting standpoint, but you got a really storied basketball program. You've gotten a football program that's been okay. Not great by any stretch, but they have the potential to be good. And think about the shoes you got. You've got Ohio State and Michigan are Nike teams. You have Nebraska rep and Adidas. And you also have the Under Armour gang now with Maryland. That's a whole new market you're hitting.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Did you just hit something in there, or did it just a natural little pop?
It's a natural.
I'm getting used to the facelift.
Okay.
Okay. It's like an old pair of slippers.
Change is good.
No, you know, it's fine, but I'm just used to... What am I listening to now?
This is Homecoming by Kanye West.
Thank you. Cool. All right.
You seem very unimpressed.
It's the instrumental, I pray.
Well, yeah. There's no words.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm just wondering if it's a quiet lead-in. You know?
No. It's a fantastic beat, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah. It's up-tempo and exciting. Give me a little bit of Russell Westbrook last night because, you know what? I saw some highlights here and there of the NBA awards show. Jacob Padilla is coming up in 10 minutes. We will get our NBA fix with him. after Nebraska football recruiting and Nebraska football talk with Jacob of Hail Varsity. But man,
hard to watch at some points, but otherwise not too bad for being live.
That awkward, poor guy. And I never thought I'd say Russ, poor guy, because he's just hard to like.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
And that's just me.
Okay.
I respect his ability, but this kind of humanized him for me.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't going to cry, but... I can't say thank you enough. You guys sacrificed everything you've done in your life. Pops, OG, working two jobs, getting up at 4 a.m, waking me up every night, going to the gym, shooting hoops outside, staying up late, playing the video games, man. To my mom from doing everything to keep our family together. Truly blessed to have you as my mother. It's just so amazing. I couldn't be able to do none of this without you guys. It's just... I can't say thank you enough. There's so many things I can say about you guys just for putting me here. And I'm just thankful to have you guys in my corner. So love you guys.
That is awesome. That's a son that's super proud of what he accomplished and super, super thankful about mom and dad just being there for him.
And he talked about also, too, getting really emotional about his younger brother, who he looks up to, and he just got his master's. And, I mean, he just – it was really heartfelt last night. It was a really good speech
by
him.
No, that might shift me a bit on Russ. I guess what – I need to be a more grown up about separating his – he's so much fun to watch. Well, the on-court demeanor, I get you have to be kind of a serial killer. I just – the shot selection –
that's fair.
The shot selection of he is the definition of streak, okay? But when it comes to shot selection and shooting his team out of games, and then he had to do something. I get it. But be awesome all the time is my command.
Good triple double is.
Yeah, not 3 for 39 from the floor. Jacob Padilla is coming up with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com presented by the Nebraska Lottery. In about 20 minutes, a walk-on, a standout wide receiver, Justin Holm, Lincoln Southwest. Going to join us, his thoughts and reaction to getting that walk-on offer. Welcome in with HailVarsity.com and Magazine, Jacob Padilla on the program. Jacob, how you doing, man? How's your summer going?
Going pretty well, filled with basketball, which is how I like it.
Yeah, that's you're coaching and you're checking things out. You're following up with the talent that's out there. And I got to ask you, man, how's the squad doing? How's the coaching going?
We're we got a break for June, so the kids could go play with their high school team.
Sure.
So we're actually have our first practice of the summer on Thursday, and then we get started with our first tournament of the summer on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to getting back to work with these guys. Lost one of my players. He got moved up, which I guess as a coach, that's got to make you feel good that you have one of the players on your team get promoted up to the team above you. So I'll take the credit for that.
give us a little background. Who are you coaching and what's the organization?
I'm working with Omaha Sports Academy. OSA, I think, is a great program. They've got youth teams. They've got high school teams, AU. They do both development and high level, really competitive travel teams. So
if you're in Omaha and you've got a kid that's looking to play some basketball, I think OSA is a great place to check out.
Well, thanks for what you're doing and working with the kids. Jacob Padilla with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. Follow him, read him. Great coverage with Hail Varsity. So Jacob, wanted to start off and talk some recruiting and some Nebraska football and just kind of get your sense, your vibe, your feel with the last couple of Fridays and how you think Nebraska, the staff, how they're doing with, not only with talent selection, but also how they're able to relate and connect and kind of develop some of those relationships with these high-profile guys. How do you think it's going for Nebraska?
I think Nebraska is doing a great job. And obviously they're one of the teams that is always looking for something new to do, a different way to connect with players, always kind of pushing the envelope. And that's what we're seeing with these Friday Night Lights camps. They're getting better pretty much every time they have one. Obviously, their social media presence is extensive, and the recruits, I think, really take to that. You see them kind of buying in and picking up where Nebraska leaves off. So I think they're doing a great job. Anytime you talk to the players, it sounds like they've got really good relationships with their position coaches and even the head coach and the coordinators as well. So I think Nebraska's success on the recruiting trail, you're starting to see that, and it stems from those relationships and their creativity.
They've been very creative. They've been working hard. They've been creating buzz. There's been word of mouth, and it's a place you got to go see. I mean, that's what you hear and see from recruits and the peer recruiting, and it's almost like a new restaurant that's open. The word of mouth. Oh, that place was awesome. You got to go check it out. Versus the advertising you see on social media that PJ Fleck got everyone in trouble for.
Yeah, and I think you see that with some of the Friday Night Lights camps. I heard a story how Ryan Clark's son, Jordan Clark, who got an offer after this past Friday Night Lights camp, he heard that Buki was going to be there and said, you know what, that's where I got to be, Dad. And he showed up, balled out, and now he's got a Nebraska offer. So I think you're seeing that really pay off.
You are. Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. So who are some of the kids that have impressed you that you've had a chance to see specifically last weekend? And do you have any feel, any gut on, you know, some of the more high-profile kids? Does Nebraska stand a decent shot to get not only future visits, but maybe commitments? I'm not asking you to just lay out the finishing touches of 2018, but just overall kind of how you're receiving it.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to have any real in-depth insight or kind of not plugged in as well to how all these teenagers are feeling, but I definitely think they're making some good impressions on some of these guys. Obviously, all the guys at this Friday Night Lights camp, everybody's talked about all the guys that really stood out, guys like Micah Parsons and that, who was just an absolute beast. And it was,
you see a lot of high school kids, Jacob, and you've seen a lot of kids with basketball. You've seen athletes, okay? And does he just wow you?
Oh, yeah, no. You just see him standing there to start with. At one point, they got the fans going, showing him on the big screen with Mike Riley, both of them throwing the bones. And then after that, he got out there and started running routes, and catching touchdowns, and they pulled down a one-handed touchdown at one point, which was really impressive. So, yeah, he's a special kind of athlete. You can see why he's a five-star prospect. And the fact that Nebraska got that guy onto campus, and just based on everything that's come out of it and what you've seen, I think he had a good time there. That's the first step. I have no idea where Nebraska is with him in terms of hierarchy. It's still kind of early on for him, I think, the way he's doing this. But I think they got their foot in the door and they started to get that relationship going. And now if Nebraska can get a visit out of him, an official visit, get him come back here, kind of take a look at the university as a whole and all that kind of stuff, that'll really be a huge step. And even if you don't end up getting a guy like him, just being on that final list, that just puts your your brand out there even more, gets you in front of other high-level kids. You start thinking, whoa, he's like Nebraska. Maybe that's a place that I could see myself going. So I think getting him there is huge. And then, obviously, a lot of their other guys, Christian Tutt, is a defensive back that was impressive that they're going after, would be another guy to add to guys like Uki Riley Hiles, who's a stud, and Chase Williams, and all those guys they've already got committed. So I think getting those guys that are already part of the class in there with some of your top targets is just brilliant, and because you let them do the recruiting for you.
No, and you have the Buki factor that continues to grow, and he's backing it up on the field, at least through drill work, and he's a guy from a mindset standpoint. You get a bunch of guys that are as competitive as him and locked in and very serious about wanting to be part of the solution with changing the program from that 9 or 10 win number to bigger and better. That's how you grow it forward. And yeah, I mean, it just takes one dude to say, I want to go to Nebraska and not end up at Penn State or Ohio State or Michigan or SC. I mean, all it does is take one guy. Let's spend a couple minutes here on your hot reads today. HailVarsity.com, Jacob Padilla covering the hot reads as Walt Vogues is in search of new hops. We'll just say that in Germany. Tanner Lee, where are you at right now with Tanner? What are you paying more attention to, the hype or the naysayers? I mean, we're all interested to see how year one goes for Lee. But what's on your radar more, the doubt or the, man, this kid's good type commentary that's out there?
Yeah, that's kind of the dilemma that I've kind of found myself considering throughout this whole process. When his name first came up as a transfer option, and I took a look at him, I'm like, oh, like what's this dude? Like, you look at his numbers, what he did at Tulane, and they were pretty pedestrian, nothing particularly special. So I didn't really get very excited. And then when they got him, I'm like, well, all right, let's give them a chance, see what he can do. And obviously he's been impressive. We've heard all the praise from various sources, both in-house and outside of the program. And all those people obviously know a lot more about football than I do, so I definitely put some weight into that. But at the same time, you kind of have to go off of what he's done, and he hasn't been a difference-making quarterback to this point. Obviously, there are all kinds of factors that go into that, his youth and what was around him, and system potentially, and all those kind of things. So basically where I'm at is I'm kind of looking at Lee like I am pretty much the rest of the offense, with there's so many unproven guys, so many new starters, new rotation players. I think it's okay to be optimistic and be excited about a lot of these guys, but at the same time, you see people outside the program. And I linked to a couple of other previews from elsewhere and podcasts, and a lot of places are not particularly high on Nebraska because of how little they have coming back. So I think you can kind of look at the entire Nebraska offense. Well, honestly, you could look at the whole defense too. They've got a lot of returners, but obviously changing schemes. So that makes a big question mark on that side of the ball too. So Nebraska really, I think, has a wide array of potential outcomes for this year. They could struggle with so many new guys, but at the same time, there's enough talent there that if they can put it together and figure it out, I think they can be pretty solid.
See, that's what we spent the first part of hour one on, was Phil Steele. We had Phil on last week, and you know, the least experienced teams, Nebraska comes in at fourth. Michigan's going to recruit their way out of problems. Michigan State is number one with least experience, and a couple of other teams are in there that are supposed to do well. A&M is, you know, they can't go 8-5 again, or you know, the world will end. So I look at Nebraska, just because they don't have a ton of senior starters back, or there's not a ton of seniors on the two deep, that isn't a bad thing, because this year all of it's new: offense, defense, coordinator on the defensive side. I mean, it is the absolute definition of new. And I don't think you can condemn it because, quite frankly, what was going on beforehand wasn't all that great. 6-7 with NFL talent, 9-4 after a 7-0 start. You didn't finish. You got beat up. So, to me, this is the absolute reset, and why not be better? Just despite the fact that there's a handful of seniors, and you got other guys where it's their turn to shine. Doesn't matter what class level they're at. That's kind of how I view it.
Yeah, and that's always something that you have to look at when you're talking about returning experience. And sometimes the guys that you have starting aren't necessarily difference makers. They're not great. So with them moving on, you're losing a known, but that also provides more opportunity for someone who potentially is more talented. Maybe they might have some struggles early on where they try to figure things out, but by the end of the season, maybe you're better off with that player in place as opposed to the senior who had moved on. So that's always something you have to consider. That's the thing, when you look at returning experience, it's nice to have, but you want returning stars. It's not just experience that matter, and you want talent. And talent, I think, is obviously number one. You look at what Alabama does everywhere. Obviously, football is so much different than basketball, where Kentucky, they've got new teams every year. Mm-hmm. But Alabama, they get those guys in, and they still have so many guys leave early for the NFL that you've got some different guys making starting and playing a big role every year. But that doesn't matter because they've got the talent.
So, Jacob, I feel like you're the perfect guy to ask this question to, and it's around Justin Patton. And I tweeted this out during NBA draft night, and I just don't know how a guy that was a near potential NBA lottery draft pick was in Omaha, and I knew nothing about him. If I would have known, I would have gone and watched him for sure, but can you help me figure that out? Because I was looking at 24/7, Rivals, ESPN, and the only team I saw offer him was Creighton. So was he just the ultimate late bloomer?
Yes. In a word, yes, he was. You look at what he was coming out of high school. He was about 6'1", 6'2", guard. And then he shot up, and by his junior year, he was about 6'10". And I went and watched him play one time. This is when I first started covering high school ball. And the first time I saw him, he went out there, airballed three of his first four shots, finished with 10 points against a team with a 6'3 center. So you look at that and you're like, well, this kid's tall, but there's really nothing there. And then, so the season played out, and then that summer, he went to the Creighton basketball team camp, the elite camp, and he just lit everybody up there. He was an absolute force. And by the end of the camp, Coach McDermott called him in the office and offered him on the spot, and he accepted. I really can't overstate the improvement he made from his junior season even to his AAU season. And I went and watched him that summer, and he was a really solid player, making a lot of plays defensively, offensively. He could do special things. And then his senior year, he was solid, 14-10, somewhere in that range. But you kind of think of this guy who ended up as a consensus four-star prospect, top 50 some places, and now obviously top 20 draft pick. You think, well, I mean, 14-10, that's all right, but that's nothing super special. And I think you could still see the potential, though. And that's when he got to Creighton, he needed that redshirt year to kind of make that next leap. And we saw the results. He had a great freshman year, and now a top 20 draft pick. And I think you'll kind of see that trend continue, where he will make another big leap with the proper strength and conditioning work and skill work by the NBA coaches.
Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at @JacobPadilla_. Jacob, it's awesome to catch up. We'll do this again soon. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right, yep. Talk to you later.
All right, there he is, taking over the hot reads and doing awesome work with HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll get caught up with the newest walk-on for Nebraska, Justin Holm of Southwest, up next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Jacob Padilla, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Excited, guess who we're going to have on Thursday? Steve Calhoun. Guess where he's been? Manning Passing Academy. I don't know if he brought me any New Orleans cuisine back. But he'll be able to report. I like it. Anxious to spend a few minutes with Justin Holm. Standout wide receiver. Lincoln Southwest, 6'6", 200 pounds. And getting the walk-on offer from Nebraska. Got a chance to see a couple three Southwest games last year covering high school ball. Justin, congrats to you. Thanks for a few minutes with Hail Varsity. How you doing?
For sure. Thank you so much. I'm not doing too bad. How about you?
Doing all right. Take me through Friday and how things transpired. I mean, people around Lincoln have watched you. People in Class A know about your size and skill level and what you can do. And you had some coaches down there that got to see it too. Tell me what your mindset was going into Friday and then the execution of it.
Going into Friday, I was just kind of nervous about it because I knew what was at stake. And just getting out and competing with all the recruits was a good time. And I'm glad that it ended up turning out like a positive result for me. So, I mean, it went well. And I'm just glad that I could show what I could do in front of the coaches.
Any of the other guys, recruits that you really bonded with and maybe started texting with each other now?
I mean, I've had a couple conversations with them in person, but, I mean, we all follow each other on social media. But I haven't, like, reached out to anyone that is, like, a fellow committed recruit. So, no, I haven't really done that yet.
Let me ask you, Justin, with you being a Nebraska kid, at what point in your life did you go, you know what, this is something I really want to do? I want to try and be a Nebraska football player. And now it's an opportunity and a reality for you to walk on and then do what walk-ons do. That's contribute and a lot of times stand out and be difference makers. How old were you when you said Nebraska was where you wanted to be?
It was probably during my sophomore year of basketball, I got hurt, and it was on my right hand, it was on my shooting hand, and so I couldn't, like, fix it. There's nothing you can do about it other than tape it up, and then you can't really shoot. So, I mean, then I kind of realized, like, you know, like, I had a lot of fun in football sophomore year, and I was like, you know what, like, football, like, it may be my opportunity now. So, and then just going to a bunch of Nebraska games and stuff, it made me think, like, that was always my, like, if I could do it, I would. And after Friday night, I got the chance, so I'm really thankful for that.
Your coaches at Southwest, some of your teammates, who are some guys that have helped you? You've put the work in, obviously, with camps and hard work and off-season and doing other sports, but who are some of your peers, some of your buddies that have helped push you?
First and foremost, my quarterback and best friend is Jake Ballschweed. He's a really good kid. And, you know, there's days where I'm hanging out at home and he's like, hey, you want to go throw? And, you know, of course, sometimes being lazy, I'm like, no. And he's like, you want to win games? And then, you know, he's a great motivator. So, I mean, he gets me out. We work out every morning together. We're lifting buddies. And Jacob's probably the biggest one. I'm excited to play a year with him. My last year of high school with him, he's my best friend and I can't wait for that. And others are probably Cade McCormick. He's a sophomore. Or he was a sophomore last year. He's going to be a junior this year. He's a really, really good linebacker, and he motivates everyone, and he's a great teammate. And, I mean, I just can't – like, there's everybody – I wish I could say everybody on my team, because they all mean so much, because I truly have the best teammates in the whole state of Nebraska. So I'm thankful for every single one of them. So – I mean, I can't name all of them, but each of them brings something to the table that's unmatched.
Justin Holmes joining us here, Hail Varsity Radio, Lincoln Southwest, and he was able to get the walk-on offer to Nebraska, and he's excited to show what he can do and contribute to Nebraska. Justin, I know you're going to figure out where you fit best, but let's talk the dynamic on offense and defense and how you still have another year left, I understand, but just the projection to the college level between playing for Coach Williams or Coach Diaco with your size and ability on that side of the ball, but also what you've been good at for a long time and your size and speed on offense here. What do you want to do? What do you think you'll do?
Well, what I want to do is is I just want to contribute to the team in any way that I can. And but I mean, if I could choose, like, that's what I would do. But naturally, I think I'd play wide receiver.
Okay.
And that's what Diaco told me he sees me as. But he said that, you know, whatever may happen, that if wide receiver, like if I wouldn't get a play or something, that I could, that there's always a home for me on his side of the ball, because he told me that. So I'm really excited, because I know that I have like a backup plan if that doesn't go as planned.
Well, yeah, we'll spend a couple more minutes on Coach Diaco. Your conversations, what else did you guys talk about or spend time in the conversation on? You just made clear that there'll be, because of your size and athleticism, he'll find a spot for you somewhere defensively. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what else did he say? What advice did he give you? What were some words of encouragement? I mean, how did your interaction go?
With Diaco, he told me one of the main reasons why I told him that I was ready to do it on spot is because when I was talking to him, he said, like, he told me straight up, he's like, look, Justin, we cannot give you a scholarship, because he's like, you know, it's such a short class, and they had it all figured out, you know, months ago and stuff. And he's really honest with me. And I appreciated that, but he's like, look, he's like, if you come here and you walk on, he's like, I see you earning a scholarship, and he's like, and playing, not just standing on the sideline. I see you playing here someday. And hearing that is like, it's really reassuring. So, and I just appreciate his honesty. Like, he told me, he's like, we can give you a scholarship, but he's like, you will play. He's like, I'll tell you that straight up. So.
Justin,
that was nice to hear.
Yeah, that is nice to hear.
Pretty, yeah, especially that guy.
Justin Holm with us. Hey, Justin, did you get to check out any of the other facilities they have, like the academic area, the training table, the players' lounge, anything like really stand out to you?
Just all of it in general, like the life skills program. There's not one like that in the whole, in all of Division I football. And because, I mean, I only get to play football after this year for 5 more years. So, and I get to work for a lot longer. So knowing you can go to school and get some money for your school after football is just a really sweet thing. And, I mean, the training table is nice. The food is, I've heard, is amazing there. So that's another good thing. And just everything Nebraska has is just top-notch and, like, unmatched. So.
Justin Holmes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Lincoln Southwest. He's walking on to Nebraska and excited about that opportunity. I wanted to ask you, Brandon Riley has been on with us several times, and his story is well known with Southwest. Bando, well known for what he was able to do, Southwest kid. Have you had a chance to talk with Brandon? I saw a Twitter interaction where it's time to work out. He was proud of you, but have you followed up on that? Have you had a chance to get in front of him?
Yeah, we've texted a couple times, and he texted me yesterday, and he's like, I'll let you know, like, when I'm free, and he's like, we'll work out this week sometime, because he leaves on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume between tomorrow, like Wednesday or Thursday, that we'll probably meet at Southwest, and he'll probably teach me some stuff. So I'm all ears when it comes to him, because he's a guy with a lot of skill, and he's been there and done that. So if there's anyone who I could learn from, he'd probably be, he's up there on that list. So.
Lastly, what's your impression of Nebraska? You grew up, you wanted to go to games, but where do you think the program can go? I mean, I'm a Lincoln kid as well. I'm way the hell older than you are, but I remember when it was at its pinnacle, and Nebraska's really done well recruiting. They've done well developing. They've got it together with the staff. They have a lot of in-state kids that are either scholarship or walk-ons that become scholarship guys. You know, is there a timeline? And what do you remember most about Nebraska? Like, what peak do you remember Nebraska being at?
The peak that I probably remember Nebraska at the most was when we had Ndamukong Suh and Levante David and all those really good athletes on the defensive side of the ball, and just watching them when other teams would only score 13 points a game, you know, like that was like, that was just an elite group. And I loved watching that team. And I mean, even though we had only scored by field goals some of those games, it was fun to watch that defense. And like Nebraska now is they got a great group of coaches who all have one goal in mind, and it appears that just everyone is bought in. And to me, that's how you build success. So it's great seeing that and all those great coaches working together. So
Justin Holm with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And Lincoln Southwest standout. You'll be able to catch him his senior year with the Silverhawks. And Justin, we'll do this again. Best to you and congratulations to you and your family with the walk-on opportunity. Thanks for a few minutes with Hail Varsity.
Yep, thank you so much, Chris. Thank
you.
A good one.
You too. There he is, Justin Holm on Hail Varsity. Awesome kid, man. And just you can hear the excitement and just the pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
It is. And he's not even thinking about the NFL. I mean, he's already, not saying he can't, but, he's already thinking he's got 5 years left in college, and then he's going to do, I can't remember what it stands for, but the PEO program that Life Skills offers where you can go get paid to do something right after you graduate, something in your field. I mean, he's got it all together already in his mind, and that's great.
Well, and if you talk, remember talking with Brandon when he got picked up by Buffalo and just, how it's all through grinding has materialized for some of these guys. And, there's a lot of football in front of Justin Holm, but, the guy just, he wanted it, and he got the, look, we can't take everyone, but if you come here, you're going to play. That's huge, because the dude had options to go play at South Dakota State, get stuff paid for. And that level of football, obviously, it's not Big Ten, but it's still good football. Mm-hmm. It is. So that's – you got to have dudes like that stick around and gut it out financially, and that's so easy to say versus do. So good for Justin Holm of Southwest. Awesome to hear from him. That'll be up on the podcast today, HailVarsity.com. Caller 5, when are these 4?
Tomorrow.
Wednesday night, VIP Salt Dog tickets, yours. Caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 5, a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the Dogs.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Oh, I tell you what, Justin Holm, pride of Lincoln Southwest. A lot of fun to talk with him and hear his story about walking on to Nebraska. Garrett Nelson yesterday, Justin Holm. We'll have a recruiting segment coming up Thursday with Greg Smith. And also Steve Calhoun, back from the Manning Passing Academy. He'll be with us on Thursday. Rick Heyman's here for you right now, your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. And pure-grown diamonds are 100% real diamonds, except they're grown in a lab versus mining the earth mine diamonds. Listen, eco-friendly and 10 to 40% less than earth mine diamonds. That's a great value with pure-grown diamonds, but they're beautiful. And the folks who shop at Sauter Heyman, which is most of you, have loved the pure-grown diamonds, some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. So, listen, you may have a birthday or anniversary coming up for Mama. It is time to go check out those pure-grown diamonds at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Rick and the friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Log on, SauterHeyman.com. TJ, you've been bothered for 24 hours. I told you you were ready to launch on this yesterday. I said, exhale.
Yeah.
Exhale and give yourself 24 hours. You're still fired up, man.
Yeah, and everybody else was talking about it yesterday. I just seems like, it's low-hanging fruit. It's easy to bash this guy, but just rereading it today,
who are we talking about?
We're talking about Scott Bielow. And Scott Bielow is a National Foundation Football Writer Association member.
That's so important and impressive.
That is. He writes for FBS and FCS college football. So that's a lot of teams. So he's got and he's not local to Nebraska. He's writing these team previews about everybody.
He's from Vegas, baby.
Yeah. So he tries to stay up on it as well as he can. So with that being said, it did not go well, his team preview for Nebraska football. Who is going to play quarterback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, you say?
He didn't throw out Keith and McCant, did he?
No, he threw out Zach Darlington. Mm. A converted wide receiver who's going to have to go back to quarterback.
Hey, if that happens, I love Zach.
Yeah, I do too. And I thought we should have done some Wildcat with him in the bowl game with him. But no mention of Tanner Lee at all, nor Patrick O'Brien or Tristan Jebbia.
He was just all about ZD.
Yeah, he was all about Zach Darlington, and he did not think they were in good position with that. And update later, Nebraska spring rosters did not include Tanner Lee. Had he just gone to Huskers.com, he would have seen Tanner Lee, Patrick O'Brien, and Tristan Jebbia.
Or Hail Varsity.
Or Hail Varsity to come. I mean, the roster is there for available. ESPN, like, it's limitless. You can go find that. So he has been getting so much hate, I guess is the right word, on Twitter.
Oh, I would feel bad for him. It's pinata and bashing time.
No, it is. And
has happened.
And he seems a bit like a Bo Pelini truther, the way he writes about the Nebraska team.
Explain your lingo. Bo Pelini truther.
His final words are you missing Pelini yet, Husker fans?
Okay.
He also says, Nebraska finished the season 2-4 after a 7-0 start, and no one has to wonder why Bo Pelini was really fired, because Mike Riley has done worse than Bo Pelini did overall and has received none of the hate.
Well, that might be true, but here's the thing. Mike's huggable.
That is the thing.
Okay.
Mike's very huggable.
Mike's huggable.
Bo seems real friendly with those Barstool Sports guys.
Well, good. Those guys
hanging
are,
with him again.
Those guys
this
are
weekend, and
like
Bob Stoops.
Vicious in a good way. They're hilarious.
They are. Also, he does not consider the Foster Farms Bowl a legitimate bowl bid because the team finished 5-7, and they beat up on a UCLA team that did not want to be there, and he hardly considers that a major accomplishment. So,
listen.
Scott Bielo does not count.
Do we
that
have
win.
A new script? Do we have a new script from Bo, from UCLA's engagement factor? Do we have a new script from 2015? Do we have a new script from Zach Darlington taking snaps? Do we? So here's the point. If you're going to talk about or write about Nebraska, know what the hell you're doing.
Yes.
Because Nebraska fans love them some football, and they are going to call you out and catch you if you suck or don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I don't know what the whole Football Writers Foundation.
He's a College Football Hall of Fame voter.
How old is this guy?
I don't know. He's been married to his wife 15 years, if that helps with
the
age.
Yeah, I'm working on that too. And that's hit or miss depending on the day.
Well, I think one of my favorite comments somebody left was, Chip, you may be right with your conclusion. Nebraska faces some headwinds this year. However, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Worst analysis ever.
You are bothered. You are frustrated. You had tears in your eyes. You were so mad.
Like, man, I don't like to crush other people because obviously we all do things wrong throughout the day, but if you're writing a team preview on a team, like,
but who saw this? Who read it? How'd it get out? I've not heard of the guy.
I think Nick on our morning show.
Okay.
I saw him as one of the first guys to tweet about it. And he's like, you guys should check this out. And it's Zach Darlington is your starting QB.
Good for Nick.
And it's like, oh boy.
I like that.
It just goes from there. Okay. Update, Kalu is likely to move to safety this fall. Well, you know, that's been known for a while. Cole Conrad is supposed to be the center, but he has Michael Decker getting the first shot at that. So just a lot of mistakes in here, Scott.
So I guess I got to ask you this. If you're a Nebraska fan that has flooded homeboy's inbox or timeline, if the guy who runs out into the huddle is Zach Darlington behind Decker with Kalu at center, do you offer up a God love you, I'm sorry?
Maybe something. I wonder what like the Vegas odds would be on that. Like, 1,000,000 to 1. Decker to Zach Darlington. Oh, Scott.
Well,
finest work. It's all right.
Well, do you have last year's preview? Is there evidence of that?
You'd have to give me a couple minutes to find that out.
Because, I mean, I thought A.J. Bush looked good at times, too. But did we have A.J. starting a year ago?
That's right. Huh? Hey, I was big on Breon Carnes one spring. I'll admit that. I was on that bandwagon. Yeah. Even LaTravis. I liked me some LaTravis. But I never thought they would actually start.
You prayed to the Lord above that they would never actually start because they were converted linebackers.
Yep. LaTravis was, yeah.
Okay. 7 out of 10, that's too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. 69, they'd be alive today if they'd been using their seatbelts. And the state on the lookout for seatbelt violations this month. Click it or ticket. Tickets will be written for seatbelt and child restraint violations. Do yourself a favor. Do those on the roads a favor. And click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. We will wind out a Tuesday. Busy show tomorrow. Is Uncle Jerry going to join us? Jerry DiNardo, part of the Wednesday rendition. Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I'm proud of you, TJ Henney, for keeping this bed. Wow. The facelift continues.
What is this?
I saw the video when I was 12 and loved the song. This is In Living Color, not the show, the band.
It's a TV show, not a band?
I said not the show, but the band.
Okay.
I think they are British.
All right.
It's Cult of Personality. YouTube the video. Not now.
Yeah.
But sometime.
Well, I looked up that Ted Kennedy guy. That was interesting. He's driving people into a river. That guy was a piece of work. He's trying to kill people. On Chickawaka Island, whatever you called it.
Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick. Oh, man.
No, it
was
just
the best role model in the world.
Listen, okay, the reference point was the wife was giving me garbage about having a beer on a Monday.
So you were going to
I said, I'm not going Ted Kennedy tonight.
Now I get it. Now that's kind of funny.
It's real funny.
Yeah.
The point is Carson got it.
Oh.
He thought it was brilliant.
Wait, Carson knew who Ted Kennedy was and I didn't?
Yeah.
The old chick? Wow.
It's okay.
I mean, I don't pay attention to politics, so I'm not surprised.
Okay, and your touche to me is Grandpa grow up and learn some more rap artists. I will.
Okay.
Okay. What are you doing tonight?
What am I doing tonight?
Besides YouTubing In Living Color.
Living Color. Royals are back on. Going to watch them. May go because it's $5 Tuesday.
Movies.
And just to complete it, not that I'm proud of it, but I have a chance to say I saw every Transformer movie in theater.
Ooh, nice.
And obviously,
see, I like the cartoon.
Obviously, they've
one.
Gotten worse over time, so they're not great, but it's still something to see.
See, I went to the cartoon version like in 86.
The cartoon were interesting.
Yeah, because
okay.
They were on every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And then they were on during the week with WGN. And
then they were on a theater?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Put it all together.
Okay.
Like Optimus got popped. He was done. Yeah, whacked.
Sounds like he's a traitor in this one, so.
See, that hurts. The cartoon version was good, though. I liked that. So, yeah, and Carson actually got DVDs of the classic Transformer cartoon series.
Okay.
So he watched some of those. G.I. Joe 2. But now we scratch the hell out of them and they don't work.
Have you figured out dinner plans? Still going out?
No, I don't know. She's working tonight. You know, if we do something, it could just be a really nice piece of meat, steak or something, so we don't have to pay for her. That would be ideal.
There you go.
Okay, so we are out of here. We are running out of time. There'll be a hit put out on me by the wife shortly. Please check out the Justin Holm interview. He was fantastic. Walk-on from Lincoln Southwest. Wants to be part of Nebraska football. That dream came true for him over the weekend. Mitch Sherman was awesome from the College World Series. Great recruiting thoughts from Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity. You'll want to catch it, hailvarsity.com, and go to the More tab and find Hail Varsity Radio. Also, ESPN Lincoln app that is so convenient to download. It's free right there for your phone. There's a spot for podcasts on there. And subscribe to us, Hail Varsity, on iTunes. Don't cost nothing. Take us with you on your time. Uncle Jerry, Jerry DiNardo tomorrow, Mike Babcock tomorrow. Thanks to TJ Henning. I'm Schmitty. We'll talk to you again on Hail Varsity.